worthy of treatment. All right, so often I get this, asked this question about why do some children develop problems with anxiety? Why is it, do some people develop a problem and other people just experience normal levels? And this is a really difficult question to answer because we really don't know a solid answer to that question about why some people have anxiety disorders versus not. We do know that there is a pretty strong genetic component. Not as strong as, say, other disorders like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, but about 30 to 40% of the variance in anxiety symptoms is because of genetics, which is relatively strong. And we know anxiety runs in families. And if you work with a child with anxiety, you'll probably know that there's some people in the family that also experience anxiety. But 30 to 40% leaves a reasonable amount of impact that the environment can have. That's a pretty significant influence of the environment as well as genetics. And we can, there's lots of ways that the environment can impact, particularly the reaction from parents and how parents might respond to a child when they first experience fear or anxiety. And often a really common reaction as a parent, I know this is an experience that I often have as well, is that you want to protect your child from experiencing anxiety and stress. And when they say they're feeling worried or really nervous, you want to protect them and kind of reduce their anxiety and make them better and make their anxiety go away. But by doing that, I think parents kind of get stuck in this trap of constantly reassuring or constantly protecting their kids from when they feel stressed or nervous. But that never gives the child the opportunity to learn actually that it's not as scary as what they think. Because we know that people with anxiety problems, both kids right through to adults, that those people who experience anxiety are much more likely to think something bad's going to happen in a situation. They're more likely to predict negative things or things going wrong. And so by protecting a child or rushing in and helping, then they never actually get to learn the real threat of the situation. While it might be good in the short term, in the long term, they don't actually learn how threatening the situation is or how whether or not, even if it is threatening, can they cope with it. So often reactions from others, whether it be parents or teachers, that reaction can really help to develop or maintain anxiety over time. Watching others, we know that kids learn from watching their parents or watching people in their environment. So for instance, when I was sitting on the ski lift, if I'd panicked and said, that's it, I'm going home, this is too scary for me, we're going to fall, we're probably going to fall over and everyone's going to laugh at us. This would not have been a good model for my daughter in being able to kind of cope with that situation. So we learn a lot by watching our parents and how they handle it. Just like Paul was talking about in terms of kids were learning from their parents about our attitudes to drinking, that we also learn a number of things about what we should be scared of, what we should avoid. We learn all of this from watching those people around us. There's also a lot of environmental triggers. So some kids will develop an anxiety disorder after experiencing a trauma. This is not always the case, but for some children, it makes them vulnerable to developing anxiety disorders. And actually, most of the families that present in our clinic at Macquarie actually haven't experienced a significant trauma in their life. So this kind of demonstrates that there are multiple pathways to developing an anxiety problem. What might lead one child to develop a problem with anxiety may be completely different to another child. And that same pathway, so perhaps a parent who might be really protective and perhaps really controlling or modelling of anxiety may have absolutely no impact on another child. So there's lots of different pathways to anxiety. I think that's a really important point. All right, but really it doesn't really matter how a child developed anxiety or what got them to that particular point. What is most important is what keeps it going. And this is one of my favourite slides. It's my vicious cycle, that avoidance is a really vicious cycle, like this one in the picture, that the more you stay away from situations that scare you, the more likely it is, or that you never learn really that the situation is not perhaps as scary as what you thought, and that perhaps you can handle it. So staying away from situations is a really key component to maintaining anxiety. And this is what needs to change in terms of treatment and also in terms of prevention. All right, so let me tell you a little bit about then what treatment strategies we find works for anxiety. And these strategies actually work both in terms of prevention as well as treatment. And from all of the studies that have been conducted, looking at what treatments work for treating anxiety problems in young people, cognitive behavioral therapy is still the treatment of choice. There's lots of other new treatments that are emerging, and there isn't evidence at the moment for any of those additional treatments. Cognitive behavioral therapy is still the most effective treatment, both in the short term and the long term. There's lots of different programs available. Cool Kids is an example of that, but there are a number of different programs that are available that teach these cognitive behavioral skills. And they target those different aspects of anxiety, those components of anxiety. They target the thoughts, teaching kids strategies to deal with those, to think more realistically, and also to challenge, tackle that avoidance and that behaviour. So let me just tell you about a couple of strategies that I think are the most important in terms of treating and preventing anxiety. The first one is overcoming fear by facing it. If you think about the role that avoidance plays in keeping anxiety going, if we stay away from situations that are scary, while that might be in the short term a great thing in reducing our anxiety, in the long term, it doesn't teach the child strategies, or doesn't teach the child that the situation is not as scary as what they thought. And even if it is a little bit scary, they can probably handle it. So what we do is, in a really gradual, step-by-step way, get kids to face the situations that they're scared of. If it's worrying about getting into trouble or making a mistake, we get them to face that by deliberately making mistakes or being deliberately late for school to learn, actually, you know what, I can handle it, it's not the end of the world. Or if it's speaking up in class, answering a question in class, we'll get them to do that. But we do it in a gradual way, in a step-by-step way. So we use the stepladder approach. So if you know the Cool Kids program, you'll know this stepladder approach. We do it in small steps so that the child never feels like it's too overwhelming. Because if you think about something that you're terrified of, if I said to you, okay, the way to get over that is to face that fear and go and do it, you wouldn't do it because it's too scary and it's too overwhelming. So what we do is break it down into small steps. So the first step is something that a child can manage and that they feel they can handle it. So we'll do it in really small steps. The child has to actually experience the fear as well. So it can't be so easy that they don't actually experience any fear. They have to actually learn that they can tolerate this emotion. And really important that they learn new information. Because if you think about what is keeping anxiety going is these thoughts that something bad's going to happen, they need to learn that the situation is not as scary as what they think. Sometimes bad things do happen, but they're not nowhere near as frequent as what a child with an anxiety disorder predicts. They'll think that everyone is going to laugh at them and remember it forever. And they'll think that this particular test mark means that they're not going to get into university. And if they get one wrong, that means they're a failure in life. So it's about adjusting their thoughts and trying to be more realistic. So we also teach them detective thinking skills, getting them to think more realistically about their thoughts and about the situation. So we give them skills to do that. But one of the most effective ways of getting kids to learn how realistic their thoughts are is to actually face the situation. So we do this in a gradual way. They have to repeat each step over and over again so that they can't just walk away and say, the reason why nobody laughed at me that time was because of it was a sunny day or something random. They'll kind of misattribute the actual situation. So they have to do it over and over again so they're really sure that, that they're learning new information. We also give rewards for each step as well. Well, if you know some particular fear that you might be avoiding or something that's impacting on your life, you would probably know that if you did face your fears, then eventually there'll be some kind of long-term reward for you and that you won't feel as scared anymore. But for kids, that's often really hard to grasp, that long-term benefit of facing your fear. So we like to have a short-term reward that helps to motivate them to actually